Well, I am really, really excited that God's given us this Sunday to talk about what victory looks like at home. And I think I forgot my clicker. I think it's back in my room if someone can get to my office. Sorry about that. So if someone can click for me. Tyler, are you going to do that for me? Thank you, sir. But we're in 14 days of prayer, starting on the one back, please. We're starting back on 14 days of prayer and fasting. And the whole idea is we wanted to start off this year really just seeking God and seeking God for new victory beginning in each of our lives. You know, a lot of us in a few hours are going to be huddled around the TV screaming at it as if for some way what we say is going to affect the game because we really care about someone winning, whatever football team that is, because victory is really important to us. And for all our online people, I think it's really just appropriate that today you get to be online watching on your TV screen or on your tablet or whatever, and you're watching about victory, but today we're not doing it about somebody else's victory, we're doing it about our own victory. So instead of about watching somebody else win, we want to talk about what does it look like for the victory that God has for us, how do we live in it? And last week, we started the sermon series, and we talked about how Jesus showed us that there's some things that we don't have victory over unless we pray and fast. And so we talked about spiritual warfare. And if you didn't hear that sermon, you've been traveling or whatever, I really encourage you, go online and listen to that sermon this week, because it'll set up what these 2 weeks are about. And you'll see on this slide right here, that we said no matter who you are, no matter what life stage, no matter what problem you need victory over in life, no matter your story, all of us, we're very different, but we all need the same three things. Jesus gave us victory, but to live in that victory, we need three things. One, we need a loving relationship with Jesus. Let's get the religion out of it. Let's get the heart back into knowing him. Number two, we need practical obedience to God's word. And we said last week, sometimes you just got to what? Run the play, all right? It's not that complicated. Just run the play, and you'll have victory. God says, forgive. God says, bless, and don't curse. God says, serve, and don't worry so much about serving. And so these things, if we can just run the play, we're going to find there's a lot more victory in our lives. But some of us got a little over-religious, or some of us got a little frazzled and just all tied up with life. We're not running the play. And then third, thank you, Stephen Allen, for this. Appreciate it. We need consistent spiritual warfare because life's not just all about God loving us and us doing the right thing. There is an enemy that is opposing us. And so we need to recognize that there is a victory over the enemy. In 2 weeks, I'm going to talk about spiritual warfare. I'm going to move that sermon back. Next week, we're going to talk about victory in relationships in our lives. But today, I want to talk about a place that the Bible is very clear where victory is most important, and that's in our home, in our home. And home is a place, it's kind of a place of the God's greatest blessings, but it's also a place of the enemy's greatest attacks. And if you think about it, your life revolves around home, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. Home is that place that when you're sick, where are you at? You're at home. When it's snowing out, you can't go anyplace, where are you at home? On the holidays, where are you looking to be? Home. Home is this place that's kind of home base. It's the foundation of our life. Our life is we're born into a family, into a home, and then we spend all of our lives building another home for a family that we somehow create. Life is about home, and one day we're going to go where? We sang about it. We're going to go home. We're going to go to the one perfect home that all of us are called to. And this place of home is a place that our society and our world says is very insignificant, and yet your life and my life lives out that when there's victory at home, there tends to be victory every place else. And when there's not victory at home, it doesn't really matter where other victory is. And so we want to look at this idea of victory at home, and one of the things I want to encourage you about is the Bible shows consistently that home is a place that God's all about. Because if you think about the story of the Israelites coming out of Egypt, they had a promised land to go to. They had a place where they were supposed to have victory after victory, a place where God's goodness was supposed to be. And right before they entered into all the battles of that promised land, Moses sits him down and says, now let me tell you the key. It's not your military strategy. It's not your social strategy. It's not your professional strategy. What does he talk to him about? He talks to him about home. He talks about Deuteronomy chapter 6. And he says, hear, O Israel, be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in the land, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. There are promises, there's victory to be had, but you got to pay attention. Listen real quick. He repeats again. All right, hear, make sure you're hearing me. Hear, O Israel, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Now, here's where we get to the key of victory in all of life. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Write them on the door frames of your houses. Now, this sermon is not just for parents. It's for all of us, whether we're singles, whether retirees, whether in the middle of parenting. Home is a place of victory that God wants for all of us. And when there is victory in our home, there it's much easier to experience victory every place else. So this is what Moses studies, speaks about home, and he says, look, you've got to love God, which was point number one, right? We need a loving relationship with Jesus. And he says in that, when you love God with all of your heart, what will happen? Then you'll impress upon your children, upon those living in your home, who he is, and then you'll be set up for victory. Most of us want to impress our children or impress our roommate or impress our spouse with who God is, but they need to first see us loving God, because when we really love God, then the impression happens. Whatever you really love, your kids or those living in your home, they're pretty impressed by that in terms of they're impacted by it. If you love the Patriots, right, Ellery? Your kids, they don't miss that. They're pretty impressed, and they either love them or hate them because you love them so much, right? It's one of the two. But you've impressed. You've caused a reaction. What we love, we impress on those in our home. And so the first step is always our loving relationship with Jesus. And then talks about all these practical things you and I should be doing. Now, you get through all the story of all the battles and victories that they have in the promised land. And how does Joshua finish after all of the victories and all of the battles? Does he talk about government reform or about professional development or about all these other things? No, he goes right back to the same topic at the end of the promised land of getting it. So it's not just about getting victory, but here's how we keep victory. Joshua goes back and says, now, fear the Lord and serve, which is the word worship, him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshiped beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you're going to serve. Let's make a real specific decision about who we're serving in life, whether the gods of your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. You live in the land where there are plenty of other gods to serve if you want to serve them. But as for me and what? My house. But for me as my household, we will serve the Lord. Here Joshua finishes all these battles and all these victories, and he lives in this land. And now he says, don't forget the home. So home is this really important place for victory. For us here today, this is a great time to be a little separated from it if we're in the sanctuary today, and to be thinking about, as I go home, what do I want it to be? If you're online today, I can't think of a better message for you to watch online. You're watching where? In your home, right? And that's the place God wants the most victory for you. And so what we're going to do this morning is we're going to remember that getting and keeping Christ's victories depends on having victory in the home. And online, you look around, because everything I'm talking about is about that place you're sitting in right now. And all of us here, we're going to be thinking about, what does it look like? We're going to talk about the love of Jesus in our home, right? What's some practical things we can do? And then the spiritual warfare involved. We're just going to take a few simple thoughts because we want to remember that God's victory, he wants home to be a place of blessing, but it's also the source of Satan's greatest attack. I mean, we all get that. You don't need to be a theologian or a rocket science to know home's a place that I get upset a lot at. And so we want to make sure that we're doing our part to bring God's victory to our home. Now, let me say right here, because we all know this is obvious. Sometimes there are people living in our home that aren't interested in the victory of God, and they're not interested in the peace of God. So we could go on one extreme where we decide that we're going to force them to have the victory of God, or we could go on the other side that decides it's helpless and it'll never change, or we could do a radical middle. We could bring two thoughts together and say, you know what? As for me and what I can lead my household in, I'm going to lead them towards the victory of God. And so I want to encourage you, whether home is a place where you already feel a lot of the authority of Jesus Christ or home is a place where you feel almost none, this is your chance to say there's some things I can do that are about loving you, that are really simple, and it's really about warring against who? Not the people in my home, not against flesh and blood, but who? Against the powers and the principalities of the true enemy of what's going on in our home. So I want to encourage you. I'm excited for us to look at this. And all we're going to do is this. We're going to talk about three keys that are mentioned in those two scriptures about victory in your home. And for each one of them, we're going to ask a question about something you can do. And when we talk about each key, then I'm going to say, all right, let's talk about an item in your home. Let's talk about a habit in your home. Because you could just, it can get that practical. What's one item? What's one habit I can change, take away, add, based on the truth that if I welcome this into my home, I'm welcoming God's victory. All right, ready to go? Set? All right, we're good. Here we go. So, the scripture in Joshua says that one of the first things that we need in our home is the fear of God. We need the fear of the Lord in our home. What does Joshua do when he starts talking to everybody? He says, fear the Lord and serve him. The Bible is all about the fear of the Lord. Now, we tend to think of it, because in our world, to fear something is negative, we tend to think of the fear of the Lord as something very negative. But in the Bible, it's something that's very joyful. It's something that's very important in our lives. This first verse, God spoke to me about a year ago, and it really caught me. And I began to really think through this verse. It says in Psalm 86:11, teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Now notice this prayer that Moses prays. Oh, no, that's the next verse we're going to do. The psalmist prays, give me an undivided heart that I may what? Fear your name. The psalmist is saying, I want to fear you. Now, if I fear God, whatever you value most in life is what you're most afraid of losing. And that's a good way of thinking about the fear of the Lord. What the whole idea of the fear of the Lord is knowing that the thing I need most in life is God, and I'm afraid if I don't have him. Like my worst nightmare is not to have God's presence, his joy, his peace, his love, his wisdom, his power in my life. That's what I fear. I fear not having oxygen. And because I fear not having oxygen, I make sure I have it. Like I make sure I don't get in a situation where I do not have it. Because I have a healthy fear of oxygen. I have a fear of what's most important in my life. My family is the most important. So what's the one thing I'd be most afraid something bad would happen to? Be my family, right? Because I love them the most. And so this whole idea of the fear of the Lord, that idea is that what I value most, and remember what these 2 weeks are about, what do you depend on the most in life? We're in prayer and fasting because we're living out depending on God. What do I depend on the most? What do I need more than anything else? I need God. And if that's how I feel, then I have a healthy fear of him. There's the fear that says, well, I don't want to incur his wrath. I don't want to displease him. But because I'm in Jesus, my fear really is all about I want to lose him. I don't want to do anything that puts something between me and him. I don't want to do anything that in some way pushes him away from me. I want to do something to invite him in. And so we don't have a lot of fear of the Lord in our society. Because it's like, well, we self-determine everything. It's not what God wants. It's who do I think I am? Who do I think the world should be? Who do I think, we don't have the fear of the Lord. But when we fear God, then we care about his word, and we care about not sinning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You know, when we were doing worship, and all of a sudden, the words on the screen weren't the right words for the next, and we're all like lost. And we're like, I don't know what to sing next. I've only sung this song 100 bazillion times. But now that the words aren't on the screen, I don't know what to say. You know, all of a sudden, I don't know what to do because I don't have the right words in front of me. You know, the fear of the Lord is that thing that keeps the right wisdom in front of us. When I fear God, I make sure I hear about this. I make sure I have this wisdom. You know, some of us are confused about some decisions in our life, and if we would have a healthy fear of the Lord, the answer would get real simple, real quick. What do I depend on most? What am I most worried about? Oh, if it's God, not pleasing them, not worrying about them, if it's Him, if I had the fear of the Lord, a lot of my decisions in life would get simple, really, really quick. The scripture says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and then shun evil. So I want to make sure I'm pushing evil out of my life. And so here's the question that I want all of us to ask, and you're at home. This is a great question for you guys to talk about. What do I need to remove from my home so I can live in the fear of God better? What item in my house should not be there because I should be fearing God? And then, what habit in my house should we stop doing because it's not reflecting that we fear God? I want you to think about this, all right? You could do this as a single. You could do this as a parent with kids. You could do this just as a married couple at home. I want you to look around online. You're at home right now. Look around your house. Is there an item that should not be in your house because you fear God? Because I don't want anything between me and God. I don't want anything that in any way teaches my children that the truth is outside of God. I want them to have wisdom. So maybe there's a few DVDs that need to leave your house because maybe there's a poster or two, all right? And there's a little item here or there that needs to go because I fear the Lord. Because the beginning of all wisdom and everything I need is fearing God. I don't want anything between me and Him. So we're starting out this year, right? I want you to think about, let's take some practical steps. Is there an item in my house that needs not to be there? Because if it's there, it's kind of mocking the fact that I fear God. It's kind of saying, psh, God, what He wants? This is blatantly opposed to it. Yeah, it's welcome in my home. All right, I want you to think about that. I want you to go home, and I want you to take a few things out. Say, you know what? We fear God in this house because we depend on Him. And then what are some habits? What are some things? It's like, you know, we're not acting like we fear God very much the way we live in this house. All right? A lot of times, I mean, I don't know about you, I think one of the simplest things to do as a parent is be really thoughtful about TV. You know, I mean, are the shows that your kid's watching, do they reflect that you fear God? You know, I mean, it's just that simple. And I think that step right there over the course of years makes a big difference in how your kids turn out. You know, they say what? They say a child will, starting at whatever age, by the time they're 18, they'll see 100,000 acts of sexual activity on TV, and 91% of those acts will be outside of marriage. They'll see over 8,000 acts of murder by the time they're 18. And so are we, by the habit of what we watch and how we live about it, are we saying we fear God in this house? Or are we really kind of doing something exactly opposite? The other thing is, some of you have responded to my sermon last week and said, you know, Pastor Sean, since you said that during the prayer and fasting time I'm not allowed to say anything negative, the house has been a lot quieter, all right? Do we have a habit at home of speaking sarcasm, of speaking negative? It's very socially acceptable in our TV world to be brother and sister that constantly say negative things to each other. I don't think that's God. I think that's TV that says that. I don't think that should be in your home. And so how are we changing that? So during these 2 weeks of prayer and fasting, we're fasting, saying words that are not life-giving. And is that a habit that needs to change in my home? Why? Because we fear God. We want Him to be first and foremost in our life. And sometimes we have this kind of, especially as parents or as adults, totally fear God. Oh, now I'm at home and can what? Relax. And when I relax, then that means I relax the fear of God too. No, see, that's an immaturity. You want to learn to relax in the fear, in the presence, and the joy of God. We've been, as a family, we've got pretty strict right now. There's not a lot of media going on in our house and stuff like that. It's been like a vacation. It's like, hey, you, hi. Hey, I've got time. You want to, I don't know, play a game or something? Or there's like, I literally the other day, since I'm not looking at ESPN or anything like that, or my no social media or anything like that, literally I was at my house and I had finished a lot of stuff and I didn't have anything to do. I wasn't watching TV. So I literally just walked in my 17-year-old daughter's room, hey, Melody, wherever you are, and I just sat down. I was like, hey, is it okay if I just sit here? And then we chatted. We had this great conversation. It was really great. It was like, oh, wow, I don't need necessarily to go on vacation to get away and just focus on my family. I could just actually cut some of my practices of media and some of my habits, and I could actually focus on my family and not pay $500 a night. You know, that's just kind of nice. So I just want to encourage you, what do I need to remove from my home to better live in the fear of the Lord? We got it? Good? Amen? All right, high five the person next to you. All right, it's good. All right, next one. You're right next to it. Just go like that to yourself, if nothing else. Okay. Okay, next is the favor of God. Now, here is a study. Once I started praying that prayer about, Lord, teach me to fear you, that all of me would fear you, because I was really thinking, wow, God, I come on Sunday and I worship you, but then there's a part of my heart that says, well, but God, don't pay attention while I watch this. It's like, wait a minute, I want all of my heart to fear you. I want all of my life to fear you. I want all of my home to fear you. And as I begin to pray that prayer, I start thinking about the fear of the Lord a lot more. And then it turned into, I started noticing a connection. The fear of the Lord and the favor of the Lord go hand in hand. Then when I fear the Lord, then I experience the favor of the Lord. And so I started looking at all these verses about favor. And in Deuteronomy, when Moses talks about impressing this on your children's heart and talks about fearing God properly, he starts going after the verses we read. He says, hey, look, and by the way, when you live in cities you didn't build and you're living in homes you didn't build and you're drinking out of wells you didn't dig, don't forget God. And he's saying, look, if you fear the Lord, you're going to experience the favor of the Lord next. And when you do that, don't forget who he is. Well, look, when we fear the Lord, the favor of God also comes. Psalm 5:12, for surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as a shield. Here's a prayer I pray a lot for us as a church, and you should pray in your job, in your parenting. You should probably write this scripture down and get it in your cubicle or on the dashboard of the car you drive when you're at work. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands. Yes, establish the work of our hands. The favor of God that you and I know in Jesus is that he's for us, and he's always in advance like a shield protecting us from what's wrong and advancing what is right. Do you want to know what the favor of God feels like? I can right now guarantee that you can know what the favor of God feels like. Here it is. It feels like a snow day. It feels like a day where I don't have to work. It feels like a day when, you know what, it's okay. No one's expecting me. No one's demanding anything out of me. It's just a snow day. It's just a day I got off. I don't got to worry about getting that done. We're going to take a time out and rest. We're going to go build a snowman. We're going to go throw some snowballs later. We're going to have some hot chocolate. A snow day is a great experience of what favor feels like. It's like, I don't got to work for it. I don't got to worry about it anymore. God's favor is in Jesus Christ. And when we are in him, we have favor. Sometimes you hear about all these like prosperity teaching that like, if you want the favor of God, send me, you know, $100 and this and that. And it's like, look, you can't get any more favor than Jesus dying for you on the cross. You got all the favor in the world, all right? You got in the universe, all right? What you do need, though, is you need to walk in the fear of God so that you can invite the favor of God in your life. Like, I'm going to depend on you, God. I'm not going to depend on me. I could depend on what I could do. I'm going to depend. I'm going to give my, what, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to do simple things in life. And then I'm going to expect you to add your favor to it and multiply it and do things I couldn't possibly do. God's favor in Jesus Christ is a beautiful thing that you and I should not forget about in a world that's always complaining about politics and economy and finance. This, you need to remember the most important factor of your life being blessed is the favor of God. It's the favor of God. And so we want to ask a question. What do I need to add to my home to live in the favor of God, just to live in it a little bit more, just to welcome it and remind myself that I have it. Instead of being ungrateful about things I don't have, and I'm always thinking about the things that aren't going right, what do I need to put in my home that says, by the way, man, we are loved by God. God is for me and not against me. If I pray and ask for wisdom, God promises to give it to me. God's never forsaken the righteous. He's always the one who watches over them. And that's what I need to believe in. I need to trust in the favor, the grace of God in my life. So, what do you want to add to your home that's a reminder? What do you want to write on the door frames of your house and put on there? What do you want to put that says, by the way, let's not forget it's about the favor of God in this house. All right? So some of you need to get one of those peel-on scripture that you can put on your wall. Put it on poorly like I would, so that's got bubbles and crooked. And just put it on your house. Just like say, hey, let's remember that God's faithful, that he's with us. How do we want to be thankful? How do we want to, you're at home right now, for those are online viewers, I challenge you, look around. Man, what do you have in your home is a result of the favor of God. Now, I'm not talking about getting all materialistic. I'm just trying to say be grateful. Like, by the way, God's the one who's done that. This home we're in, it is the favor of God. All right? And so I want to encourage you, we want to think about our homes. We want to make sure the fear of God is there. And we also want to talk about the favor of God there. When I was when I became a pastor, I had a great mentor in Pastor Wayne who was here before me, said, Sean, you never want your kids to think that being a pastor is this big negative. So even though you got to work on Sundays, you got to do this, and there are things, there are sacrifices, never talk about your job like it's a negative. And any time that because you got some flexibility in your job, you get to go do something, always remind your kids of that. So like if I get to go to lunch, I'm like, Caleb, isn't it great that because I'm a pastor and I've got some time, I can actually be here right now? Yeah, there's sometimes I got to sacrifice and I get called in the middle of the night and I got to leave someplace. But hey, you know, Rachel or Melody or Kate, aren't we thankful that I'm a pastor and right now I do have this time and I can do this? And one of the things I get to do in my job is serve at your school. Isn't that awesome? What am I doing? I'm reminding them of what? The favor of God. Is it true that I got to sacrifice like everybody else's job and there's some things that are negatives about pulling on our family? Sure. But I've got a choice. Am I going to present to my kids that my job is a gift and a sign of God's favor, or am I going to present my job as a burden and a negative to my kids? You've got that choice to make. But what, you know, as for me and my house, you know what we're going to do? We're going to look at the favor of God in it. We're going to remind my kids. So what do you need to do in your home? What item do you need to add? What's something you could add this year? Say, hey, let's not, maybe it's just the scripture verse about bless the work of our hands. That's Psalm 90:17. And you say, you know what? Let's get that framed and let's put that on. I think some of you, you should write it out, put it over your entrance to your garage or wherever you leave. And man, when you leave, just like a game, tap it right before you go out the door. Favor of God. Here we go. Out the door. All right. We're going to trust in the favor of God. He's going to be good. What item do I need to add? And number two, what habit do we need to start living in? How do we talk about our job, about our house, about, our family, about our friends? One of the things I've said, you know, I've been here 21 years at Cornerstone. My kids have never heard me say one bad thing about anybody in this church in 21 years. I don't do it. It's not what I do. One, it's because you're all so wonderful. There's nothing to say. All right, and two, because I choose not to. So, however that works for you. But that's my choice. It's like I'm going to talk about things in God's favor. I'm not going to focus on, God's got the other stuff. So, what home item? Everybody at home, think about it. What needs to go where in your house? And what habit can you change to say, we want to remember the favor of God. And then the last one, and we're finishing up our alliteration series here. We're going with faith. All right? How do we live out the faith of God? Now, the reason why Deuteronomy 6 and the reason why Joshua 24 is that you have to keep victory. In other words, there are going to be attacks, there are going to be battles, there are going to be things you still have to deal with in life. And so you need to keep our faith in God high in your home. You need to remind them that things, just because things don't look good right now, doesn't mean that God's not going to be good. We need to remind our roommates, our spouses, our kids, let's have faith. And so I don't know that I really have to talk a lot about this other than ask the question, how are you living it out in your home? When school comes back and we're complaining about the teacher, or when word comes back about the bills, or when, when we think about our neighbors and how good they're doing versus how we don't have what they have, how are we living out faith? And so just the question online, at home, and for us to go home and talk to our families about, what do I need to change in my home to just live in more faith? What's an item? What's something? And I don't know what that might be, but just, is there something that needs to remind us to have faith? Do we need a little prayer jar? Do we need a little scripture jar that we could pull out the promises of God when we need? Do we need something like that? Let's not forget that God's promises doesn't mean we see it all right now. We should have faith that it's still yet to come. The just shall live by faith. And then what's a habit in our home? Most of us, without any work, have developed family habits and home habits of complaining. We need to be more intentional about developing habits of faith in our home. And sometimes when we start that, it feels awkward. Try it anyway. In your home, whether you're a single parent, whether you got roommates or whether you got a spouse, hey, what does it look like to create habits of trusting God for what we're in? So those things are part about victory at home. Now, for some of us, you know, we're going to do it, and other people in our house are going to work against it. All you need to do is give your 5 loaves, 2 fish. Don't war against people. You know, I've always said when you do devotions, don't, like, get all mean and controlling about your kids doing devotions. All right, everybody stop right now. Stop being so distracted. Focus up. We're going to love God right now. You know, you can't do that. Just don't work. So just, what can you do, though? Offer, invite, make opportunities. Sometimes when you invite and they don't say yes, it hurts a little bit. And so then you get a little angry and cop a little attitude. All right, well, you know what you need to do? You just need to, like, hey, God, my fight is not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities and powers. I did that unto you. I'm doing this because in the spiritual realms, I'm welcoming the presence and the victory of God. So I want you to think about those 3 questions online. And here, what I'd like you to do today is I'd like to think, because what do I need to remove from my house because I fear God? What habit do we want to remove from our house because we fear God? What do we want to add? What item do we want to add? And what habit do we want to add because we live in the favor of God? And then how do we, in our house, what items should we change? What is there something we should change about what we've got in our house and what we do in our house to remind each other to live by faith? Now, if you have that conversation, you may not come up with a bunch of answers. It's going to be real good just to have the conversation. It's going to be a sign of victory just to do that. So we're going to take a moment to pray. And then here in the sanctuary, we're going to take a moment of prayer and worship. For those of you online, you can continue to join us, or you could break off into your own conversation. So Pastor Brandon, come on up. It's also flannel plaid Sunday. Praise the Lord. God is good. Well, I'm excited. We are in these 2 weeks of prayer and fast. I want to encourage you to continue to seek the Lord and make special actions to really remove other things from your life and add depending on God. You will notice that on the back of the sheet, we're doing Board of Supervisors this Wednesday. I would love for all of you to come. You see the video of me there, and there's like a few of us, and it looks pretty empty in there. Yeah, let's fill the place and just say, represent to our county leaders, a lot of them really good Christians who don't feel like Christians ever show up except to complain about things. I would love for you to come, and all you got to do is stand. It's going to be about an hour long from beginning to end, probably shorter than that. The information on the back, please email me or fill it out on your connection card. It's good. Let's pray. What we're going to do, by the way, with this prayer is we're going to pray. Pastor Brandon's going to begin worship. Then I'm going to have the pastors and spouses and any other of our people usually come up front to prayer. We're just going to finish up in worship. And if you want someone to come agree with you about a physical need, about a financial need, or about something off the sermon, we're just going to take a moment to pray together up front, and he'll just lead us in worship that. All right. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this time together. Lord, I'm asking that new victory begin in our homes as we think about the fear of God, the favor of God, and faith in you, God, how we live that out in our homes as we begin 2017. Lead us and guide us, we pray. Father, bless the conversations at home. Thank you for everybody online who is with us. Bless their conversations as they now take this message. And Lord, show them how to experience new victories at home through it for us here now. We welcome your presence. I'm going to invite all of you to stand as we take a moment of worship. And as we do that, if you would like to come and have anybody agree with you in prayer, the pastors and a few others are going to be available up front. Deacons, feel free to do that as well.